The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. There's so much to say about this beautiful passage and the many passages that now we have heard proclaimed these past however many weeks. Listening to the Bread of Life discourse, Jesus speaking to his disciples in the synagogue in Capernaum. There are a couple of points that I would like to bring to your consideration and for your continued meditation. I think the first is this: this kind of repeated description of what's happening in the synagogue. Is that Jesus' words are met with a response of murmuring. And that is like the crowd is unsettled. Yeah, so we know that. That's the actual description of what's going on. But it also echoes back to the Exodus narrative. And we see, in part at least, the conclusion of the Exodus narrative in that first reading that we heard today with Joshua, which gods are you going to serve, and the rest. We have to see, I think, his whole discourse here, Jesus' teaching on the bread of life, in light of the Exodus. So we know the Exodus is this 40-year journey headed up by Moses, and so on and so forth. The detail that keeps coming to the surface for us in these gospel readings is that of God's providing for his people with by bread from heaven, manna. Here Jesus is saying that he is the true bread from heaven. So what that foreshadowed is reality in him. So when he says that he is the bread of life, he wants us to hear, he wants his disciples to hear that they are together accomplishing a new exodus. Rather, he is accomplishing this new exodus, and one of the, I would say, many signs along the way is that he is feeding them with true bread from heaven, which is his flesh and blood. I think it's obvious to any neutral observer that when Jesus speaks here of his people having to consume his flesh and blood, he's talking about his literal flesh and blood. There's no way around it, because many of his disciples abandon him. And he doesn't stop them. He doesn't say, "Wait a second, you misunderstood." That sounds really challenging. It sounds too challenging to eat someone's flesh and blood. I wasn't actually saying that. No. He has to let them leave because they could not accept what he was teaching. And not just the matter of intellectual assent, but giving their hearts and their lives as well to that reality. And if Jesus is accomplishing a new exodus, if he is, in part Moses bringing his people through the wilderness, but in part Joshua, who actually leads his people into the promised land, then they have to give themselves over to him. Not just say, oh yeah, I believe that you can do that, but no, I will give myself to you as you achieve that, as you accomplish that. I will follow you where you lead, right? So it's in the context of this mission that we get Jesus feeding his disciples 2,000 years ago, all the way through today with his flesh and blood. It's not so simple as we have this great privilege of eating Jesus's flesh and drinking his blood. It's that we are sustained in this Exodus experience, in this wilderness experience, where we'll be tempted to grumble against God for his not providing for us, that we instead receive the totality of his life as food for our journey, as food that nourishes and sustains us in Christ's mission. Okay. I'm going to tie this together in a way that is totally unexpected. I'm going to use the second reading. Come on, you guys remember the second reading? Do you remember it? You've blocked it out. It's traumatic. Jen, there's a shorter version where you could have skipped the whole wife and husband thing, but she knows I wouldn't like that, so. If that's offensive, if that reading is offensive to us, and I think that it offends our worldly sensibilities, then we're coming at it with the wrong lenses, that wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. And I'm not gonna double down on St. Paul. He'll stand up and make that claim for himself. But when he relates that to Christ and his church, my question to you is, how does Christ rule over his body, the church? Right there. So, men, you are to love your wives like Christ loved his church. If that were universally true, that men loved their wives like Christ loved his church, we would rejoice in that reading. We would love it. We would love it. Who wouldn't submit themselves to the rule of someone who assuredly loves them to the point of death? I mean, loves them to the point of suffering an excruciating, undeserved death on account of the one who should have incurred the punishment. That's the love we're talking about. That's the love that we are called to embody as we follow Christ. He has achieved the new Exodus because he has defeated now not Egypt, he has defeated the rule of sin and death. He has overcome death. He's gone through death. He's come out the other side. And we are to follow him there. Now, we're to draw on his death-conquering love now. That's the journey that each of us is making in this new Exodus. That's the journey for which we need to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Eat his risen flesh and drink his risen blood. That's how we get that other side of death, life, into us now. So my friends, entrust yourselves to him. Make St. Peter's words your own. To whom shall we go? My friends, we have no other option. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. And let me just make one more connection. This is why the creed is so subversive, because when we say, I believe in one God, that is when we say, I am entrusting myself to the one true God, and I can reject all counterfeit gods. I can reject any other path that looks like it leads to life and love, but doesn't, because there's only one path through death to life, and that's Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life.